We're live at Dodger Stadium, the Cubs and Dodgers. So this is the Rick Monday series, wouldn't you say, Rick?
You know what? I have to say, you had some pretty good dance moves last night at the Bruno Mars concert for the Dodgers Dream Foundation. A lovely evening, and the nice thing is that we had a celebration here at Dodger Stadium and a private party, but it's going to touch thousands and thousands of youngsters. That was the epitome of what the Dodgers have done, getting involved in this community.
For me and my wife, it was really special to be seated in the same section as so many great former Dodgers, including yourself. Yeah. That was really special.
You know what? There's really a wonderful camaraderie that has not disappeared in all these years. And it's nice to go back and open up that door and go back into that. It's a warm, it's a friendly feeling.
Yeah, that's what the Dodgers are all about. Their history is what makes this franchise. And when you talk about history, Rick Monday played for the Cubs and Dodgers. And I feel like it's safe to say, Rick, when you played for either one of those teams, there was no such thing as a big Dodger-Cub game like there is today.
No, and both of these teams travel well. By that, I'm talking about the attention that they draw when they are on the road. The Cubs, of course, one of the early clubs to kind of go network all around the country. You could pick up their broadcasts, which helped the fan base, no question about that. And now with MLB, you can go on and get MLB at bat. You can pick up any broadcast of radio or television just sitting at home on the internet. Baseball has expanded. I mean, it's truly international. And we go into other countries, other regions, and introducing baseball to the countries that maybe have not been exposed to it in the past. But it is kind of neat to go and see both sides of the spectrum, knowing what baseball has meant to both of these cities. Of course, growing up here, I had an idea, a sneak preview to begin with, from a fan base, and didn't really know that much about Chicago. And then to go to Chicago and see what happens, because I think Joey Malfitano probably put it best, who came up with the Cubs. He was a coach there, and of course was a third base coach for a long time, one of the best in my estimation when he was with the Dodgers. He put it best about Chicago. You go to Wrigley Field very early in the morning, and you see Wrigleyville, the entire area around the stadium, start to come alive and start to breathe. And that's what happens. And when this place gets filled up early, as we see it when the Cubs come into town, Dodger Stadium begins to breathe.
Rick, Chris Taylor getting the started shortstop. Hopefully he could pick up where he left off when he filled in for Seager before the Dodgers acquired Machado last year.
Yeah, and I think if we look from top to bottom, you know, one of the things I talked about, too, in the first segment of the pregame show was the fact that if I'm a starting pitcher, either Clayton Kershaw or John Lester, there's one thing I'm really going to look out for, and that is hitters trying to ambush the first pitch. The reason I say that, the Cubs have six guys, and I looked at their record. They have six guys that are hitting on the first pitch 346 or higher. The Dodgers also have six guys in their lineup. They're hitting at least 333 or higher. In fact, five of the six are hitting 400 or above on the first pitch. So this is a night, if you're a pitcher, you're going to challenge a hitter early in the count, you might want to have earmuffs on, because there might be some loud sounds made. It's going to be interesting to see how they kind of go through and establish, and are they going to tickle the strike zone the first pitch, or are they going to challenge hitters on the first pitch? We'll find out.
All right, we'll keep an eye out for that. Rick, we'll check back in with you and Charlie a little bit later in the show. Tim, we'll send it back to you for now.